Initial Reaction Podcast. You can't keep us away for long. I'm J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers, joined as always by my good buddy,
J.P. Thorn, who is coming to you from an actual building instead of in a car or at a high school field near you. But give me a couple hours and I will be at several high school fields.
We have got to talk about that. I want to know where you've been. I want to know where you're going, because high school football season, J.P., is underway. It began at 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, and that is actually when the Whitnall High School football team hit the field. This is the second year in a row they've done a Midnight Madness thing, which I think is awesome. And you can read all about it, by the way, at mycommunitynow.com, because I wrote about it. But still, it began in earnest. People get really excited now for the start of the football practice season. How do you feel about it?
I think other people get less excited when it's August 1st / July 31st. I think people get a lot more apprehensive and say, what the heck is this? But then flip that around. We're done November 17th. I mean, it could be 80 degrees and sunny at Camp Randall with how early that is. Am I right?
Oh, your lips to God's ears. That would be fantastic. That's the kind of weather I love.
Last year wasn't too bad. Last year, if I remember correctly, we got all three seasons. We got summer, fall, and winter all in the three games on Friday.
That's right. It was really, really hot. I think I was down there in t-shirt, maybe even shorts. And then for the D1 game, I was just about dying just to go down and get interviews. It was definitely winter time. That's right. It was a crazy day.
Yes, but I'm excited. We got, our high school football preview show once again. So we got 20 schools on the docket sometime in the next, 8 or so days. So it'll be a little chaotic, a little fun, but should be good.
I was going to start with some talk about the Brewers, and I still want to talk about the Brewers and their trade deadline and your thoughts on that. But actually, let's stay on brand, JP. Let's talk high school football. I want to get your thoughts on some of the things that really jump out at you coming into this season. Now, usually football has, I would say, the least amount of changeover, I guess is the word, from year to year. Typically, the teams that were good last year are still good, even with brand new teams. That's just the way it works. There are good programs. There are programs that struggle. Every now and then you get a program that rises up or down. But I was curious now. You have only been, I believe, to one place so far, and that is the home of one of these good programs that I'm guessing could win the state title again. And it would be okay because their coach, Steve Jones, is a friend of the show. Am I right?
Correct. He asked about the podcast, wondered how we were doing.
Love it. Love Steve Jones. Go Kimberly. Not really. Yes, I'm from Pecan.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't mean it.
I went to Kimberly yesterday to start off the day, talk to the D1 champs. So I have one under my belt now as of Wednesday around noon. By the end of the week, I'll have 8. I have 3 this afternoon and 4 on Friday, 2 Monday, I think 2 Tuesday, and off we go. So, we're going to get about 20 of them. Kimberly, to me, is interesting again because – obviously, of what they've done with the 4 straight, the winning streak is still, well, now / still the longest in the country. Nobody has won more games consecutively than them. So you just wonder, like, what do they do with that? How do they deal with it? Especially losing, I want to say something like 15 starters from last year's team. If any program is set to just reload and replug and get going, it's probably them, but I don't know. It's going to be a test once again.
So you have a better handle on what's going on in the Fox Valley than I do. Does it feel like with those starters lost that this is the year that streak ends? Is it the type of thing where nobody really thinks they're going to get beat before the playoffs if they get beat at all? I mean, how do you look at it?
Yeah, without diving into it for a full week and, you know, totally knowing what's going on, in my mind, it's up to Milwaukee to beat them. I don't foresee their winning streak stopping before the playoffs. Teams, even as good as they've been with like Fond du Lac and Menasha, you know, there are good challengers. But in this whole streak of 56 games, I believe the number is they've only had 2 games within 2 touchdowns. You know, so even in games
that's ridiculous.
Even in games where they struggle, they find ways to turn it on. I was at the game last year when they played Appleton West in week 7. To pass Manitowoc Lincoln to get the overall Wisconsin streak at 49. And I don't think they were losing at halftime, but like they were not at all in control of that game until the 3rd and 4th quarter. And then they just pulled away and they won by whatever, I think 21 or something like that. So yeah, they're good. And to me, I think they will be the best team out of that area. And then it's up to other teams to dethrone them.
Very good. Well, they will certainly be something we watch from afar here in the Milwaukee area, and I'm sure D1 teams are going to be looking to unseat them. One of those teams is Franklin. That's a team that faced off with them in the state championship game last year. Franklin was a very good opponent, gave them a run for most of that game, and really had, I think, one of the more surprising seasons last year in that they had graduated a ton of kids from the year before, and yet they came back guns a-blazing. They overcame some quarterback injuries even and were able to run the table in the Southeast and get all the way to the state championship game. Their quarterback, Max Alba, to me, is one of the most interesting athletes in our area right now. I mean, first of all, he's an incredible three-sport athlete. He's a great quarterback for the football team, had put up crazy numbers last year and is coming back for his senior season. He's a very good basketball player. He was on our all-suburban basketball team, and yet his best sport is baseball. He doesn't even play, or at least he hasn't played, for the Franklin varsity team. He's committed to go play baseball at North Carolina. He's among, there's really three guys in the Wisconsin area, in the Milwaukee area, that are going to be a top five round talent in the next Major League Baseball draft, and Alba is one of them. You've got Alex Benelis, who just finished his junior season at Oak Creek, playing for the Oak Creek varsity, and Jared Kelenic of Waukesha West, who has not played varsity baseball, but is a big, big name on the travel circuit. That's going to be something to really watch, those three guys. I mean, for the first time, Wisconsin's going to have major, major talent, not just one guy, but several names to watch. Meanwhile, though, Max Alba is still one of the best football quarterbacks around, and I think Franklin is definitely capable of getting back to the state championship game, because a lot of those kids that played last year are back this year. They were guys that sort of had to step up as juniors, and now they're here again. So this is another positive season going ahead for Lewis Brown and the Sabres.
Yeah, Alba is one of our guys to watch for sure, that will be visiting Franklin at some point. Is that today? Yeah, that's today. I'll be talking to Max Alba today.
Ooh, I've left a phone message for him. Tell him to call me back.
No, I actually will not. The other one I'm really curious, just individually to watch, is CJ Getz. He's already committed to Wisconsin out of Catholic Memorial.
But yeah, just he's fun to watch.
Watching him throughout the year, specifically in the semifinal against Pewaukee and in the state final, he was just so unbelievably fun to watch. Seriously reminded me of J.J. Watt. And I know that's unfair.
Ooh.
But I couldn't help but get these visions out of my head of him doing this at Camp Randall for 4 years. So I'm just excited to see what kind of season he has, if he really turns it up and, like, really becomes this outstanding player, or if he just remains, you know what, really, really good like he is, and then we'll see what he does in college.
CJ Getz, you didn't mention, goes though to Catholic Memorial. They won the D3 state championship last year, and you're absolutely right. It looks like he has a lot of fun out there flying around hitting people. Maybe it's just the initial thing, JP. We're very partial to people with initials. So JJ, CJ, whatever J you are, we like you. And he's going to probably a pretty good career at Wisconsin. It's funny, they have the Wisconsin website is doing a series leading into the first game at Camp Randall this year, the 100th year of Camp Randall Stadium. They're doing the Camp Randall 100. So every day of the 100 days leading into that kickoff, they have somebody who had some influence on Camp Randall Stadium, some moment or some impact. And it's not just football players, but Joe Schobert's on the list, notably because he was obviously a very good football player for Wisconsin, linebacker of the year in the Big Ten, but also they mention what he did in the state championship game, where he set the individual rushing record with Waukesha West as a junior. So I thought that's always sort of an interesting dynamic, is that these kids who are going to Wisconsin can, you know, leave an impact on this same field where they wind up playing for 4 years. That's kind of an added coolness element, and certainly Getz has already done that when CMH won a state championship this past season.
So based on what you just told me, our boy and the state's boy, Sam Santiago-Lloyd, should have a heck of a place on that list.
Oh, Sam Santiago-Lloyd. He should have a place on that list. Now, they aren't – mostly we're talking about people who attended or have some affiliation with the University of Wisconsin, except for U2 and some major bands. Sam Santiago-Lloyd won't be going to Wisconsin. I'm still not even sure where he's going to play football.
State University.
Oh, very good. That's right. I do remember that. Winona State University. Bless Winona State. They got a very, very, very good football player. He's going to tear it up in that league.
Yeah, I talked to him at the high school football all-star game and chatted with him about going there. There were some good kids at the game. Not even just saying good players, just some good kids going to get some good schools, and I put Sam on my must interview list, and yeah, found out a little before the game that he was going to Winona State. So I hope he is there for 12 games, and then I hope he just advances and tears up the world.
Well, the battering ram of Brookfield East may have graduated. That maybe is good news for the other team in town, Brookfield Central. They don't have to get through him anymore. Granted, they beat Brookfield East in the regular season last year, lost to them in the playoffs, but the door is really open here for Brookfield Central. I mean, this is pretty much their year. They've got Division I talent on that team. Their running back, Zach Heckman, is coming back. A lot of people know the linebacker, Reggie Jennings, who I believe is a Northern Illinois recruit. Wisconsin had showed some interest there. So they are a very stacked team on both sides of the ball. Jed Kennedy, their coach, has had some experience leading teams to state championships before. And I think that's one of the teams you look at in D2 is the absolute favorite to get there. Now, they were among the favorites last year and it didn't work out, but I would expect that's the team to look for in the greater metro and quite possibly a team to get to Camp Randall at the end of the year.
Yep, I think Brook Central is on that list. We'll be stopping by Brookfield East at some point. Do you know if Oconomowoc is going to be good or not?
I don't know. It's the first year of the Classic Eight for them, so I'm guessing, I'm going to say it, there's probably going to be a step back there, but they do have a new head coach, JP. You may have heard of him.
Is it Frank Stallone?
It is, but he's going by the name Greg Malling, and we've talked about that before, how Greg Malling, once at Arrowhead High School, led them to four straight state championship games, won two of them. He went to Minnesota for a year, and now is back in the area coaching at Oconomowoc, down the street from Arrowhead. That'll be a big-time matchup when it comes to pass, as Oconomowoc joins the Classic Eight. Going to be a major step up in competition for them. There's no getting around it. I mean, Oconomowoc is a good program, but there's no getting around.
I want to say a Minnesota high school, by the way. You just said he went to Minnesota. I want to clarify he did not go to the university. Just saying.
He is not a gopher rowing the boat back to Wisconsin. He is, in fact... was a high school coach there. He's back at Oconomowoc. He is definitely a high-profile name at this point. And, I mean, Oconomowoc's a good program, but the Little Ten is nothing like the Classic Eight. It's just not even close. So the Classic Eight, which I think by and large is the best football conference in the state, there will be some argument, I think, from, you know, maybe the Fox Valley conferences up north. But for the most part, we're talking definitely the best talent around. They're going to have a tough time making the playoffs, that's for sure. But I wouldn't put it past them. I would not put anything past that program. They have surprised me before. When they went undefeated a couple years ago, I did not see that coming. And they figured it out. They had some great talent and put it together.
Yeah, you mentioned the FVA or the VFA, the Valley Football Association up there. They split into three divisions, by the way.
Whoa! Yeah, I didn't know that.
There's now a West. Used to be North, like the most poorly constructed North and South. Now it's a North, South, and West.
I didn't know that. So does it work better geographically?
Maybe your Galloping Ghosts are closer to a division crown.
Perhaps. I'm not putting any money on the football team because we got major state titles to win in basketball and wrestling this year. So, you know, I can save,
Satisfied. Good for you.
Yeah, I certainly am. But I didn't know that. So does that work out a little bit better? Cause you had teams traveling from the Fox Valley to like Marshfield and to Schofield and things like that. I'm assuming that's still happening somewhat.
I'm pretty sure there are going to be some crossovers involved because it's 3 5-team divisions if I looked at it correctly.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah, there's a North, a South, and then a West, and then you'll play year four, and then probably other two from a different division, and yeah, probably just it minimizes travel somewhat in a conference where it's probably kind of hard to do that. So.
Okay. Interesting.
There you go.
As I look at the conferences that I think are most interesting. I mean, there's a lot I could point to. I look at the Woodland West. I don't know which direction that's going to go because Wisconsin Lutheran joins the fray. Yes. What did I say? I said West.
No, you just said you didn't know which direction it was going to go.
Oh, it's going West. I'm sorry. It was a clever joke way over my head, JP, and that's a nice way of saying lame. So it will go West, but Wisconsin Lutheran joins the fray. In fact, one of the most east, probably the easternmost of the schools, but they are going to be looked at as one of the favorites. But same thing as Oconomowoc. This is not the Little Ten. It's a little more comparable in the Woodland, but still some pretty good programs in there, namely Pewaukee, which went to Level 4 last year. Seth Bickett has been on the varsity the past 3 years. He'll be one of the top players in the area, two-way player, excellent linebacker, is also a really good running back last year. Greendale, they'll be back and have some key pieces, and they had, I think, what they would classify a down year last year, but they're still very strong. New Berlin Eisenhower was contending for the conference title last year as well. So those are three really good programs right off the top competing with Wisco. I mean, I think that's going to be one of the more competitive conferences around. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw a lot of parity there where, you know, one team beats another team, but then a third team beats the first team, you know, sort of a everybody's sort of tied at the top at the end of the year.
I would have to count, which is asking for a lot, but I believe the only conference with three teams in friend of pod Travis Wilson's preseason top 15 is a Southeast Conference.
Really?
And you know one of them.
We're talking about Division One, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, Franklin, Oak Creek, and I'm not up to speed on my Reseed Kenoshas, so I'm probably Kenosha Indian Trail.
The Oak Creek Knights are not in the top 15.
Oh,
Indian Trail is not in the top 15.
Well, shows what I know about the Southeast Conference. I know there's Franklin and everybody else.
And it very might end up that way. But he thinks Racine Horlick might be the ninth best team and Kenosha Bradford as the 12th best.
Those programs have had success in the past. Bradford especially. Sure. Horlick always comes through with like one or two amazing football players.
Yeah.
And they wind up scaring people if they don't actually beat people. So that's not a surprise.
Including Joe Garcia, Offensive Player of the Year in the Southeast Conference. So.
Oh, very good. There it is.
Yep.
Yes, that's true. True. It'll probably be Max Alba this year, assuming he stays healthy. Although obviously we have no way of knowing that. So I look at the North Shore and with Germantown out of there now in the greater metro, the answer to the question here is Whitefish Bay, but who is going to beat Homestead? Who is going to be the team that keeps them from winning a 17th consecutive North Shore Conference Championship? And I got to say, I don't think there is a team that can actually do it. Whitefish Bay is probably the only school with a shot. It's going to be a very, it's going to be interesting to see how those teams match up with mighty Homestead. I don't know if anyone's going to take them down anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not up to speed on who gains players, who loses players. The reason they keep doing it in my head is just because, you know, I wonder how many of those 16 or 17 are outright. Do you know that stat? Because I feel like a lot of the times they will lose to like a Whitefish Bay, but then Bay will lose to, you know, Port or to Cedarburg or something. So then they both have either one or two losses, and then Homestead kind of backdoor covers a conference title, which is fantastic to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't know how many are shared. I would conservatively say maybe four or five of them are shared, but even still, you're right about that. The Homestead team, it's not as if they're invincible. They're just not a team that's going to lose more than once.
Yeah.
And certainly not more than once than they're supposed to in that conference. So Germantown has always been one of the top threats. Bay as well, I believe one year they all shared it, but until it actually happens, it's a little like Kimberly in the state championship games. Until actually somebody beats them, I'm not actually going to believe it's going to happen.
Yeah. Prove it to me first.
Right. Yeah. Any other players or things you're watching for in the football season this year? Lots of realignment, I know.
Yeah, we got a lot more. We're going to do a full realignment story. We're going to visit the Tosas and the West Dallases because they got some things they wanted and didn't get some things they wanted. So we'll go there. Milwaukee King will also get a little feature from us this year after going, I believe, 9-0 in conference and only giving up maybe 14 points the entire nine games, something like that.
Interesting.
I have to check the stats, but I know it's damn close to what that was. So there's a lot to watch, and it's that the best part for me is just letting things develop. Like seeing somebody out of, you know, Kenosha St. Joe's have a couple 300-yard games and then finding out who that player is and going and talking to them, just kind of watching what happens.
Yeah, no doubt there's always players that pop. I mean, that is the fun thing about football is that every year you get guys that just pop out of nowhere, juniors and seniors. I mean, just thinking last year, Zach Harrison of Greendale, great receiver, one of the better guys in the area, hadn't even played football until his senior year, either because he was focusing on basketball or he was hurt. I mean, guys like that you have no way to account for, and they suddenly come out and they're one of the better players. I mean, I hadn't heard of, I think, Zach Heckman of Brookfield Central, who's one of the top running backs in the area before last year. I'm sure he was doing great things in the program and the JV team, but there's always somebody who pops out. You do not see that as much in basketball or really even any other sports other than football to this degree. So that is obviously something that we can always keep an eye on.
Yep. I'm right there with you. It's always cool to watch it develop.
So let's get away from that a little bit. We've got a couple more weeks before the football season gets underway, and let's talk a little Brewers baseball, JP. The Brewers are still kind of in a tailspin as we record this on Wednesday. They won Tuesday night with myself in attendance, I might add. And they seem to still, though, really be struggling to hit the ball offensively. The pitching staff has been fine. They added a couple arms before the trade deadline. Anthony Swarzak came in an earlier trade with the White Sox. Jeremy Jeffress, old friend Jeremy Jeffress, coming back from the Texas Rangers. He's been struggling, but we've seen that before with him, and he's actually done very well in Milwaukee. So I think there's some optimism there. I don't know how you felt about the trade deadline. I think a lot of people were disappointed there wasn't a bigger splash. I, just as a basic fan, I can count myself among them, but I don't know. I look back and think, yeah, maybe this is the right, this is definitely the right way to play it, because I look at A, how they're playing, B, how the Cubs are playing, and C, how these super teams, specifically the Dodgers and Nationals, have gone absolutely overboard to make sure they have the best playoff team possible. And I start to think, man, I just don't think the Brewers can keep up with these teams. They're just not anywhere close. And if you're not anywhere close, what's even the point of really moving some resources around for the future to help today?
Yeah, and like everything they did, they got better for as a team. It wasn't just they're trying to go for it or go all in for this year. Like, was I disappointed? Yeah, because I wanted them to trade for Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout, and that didn't happen. You know?
You're also irrational, but I mean, anyway.
So like, I'm disappointed they didn't, get maybe Sonny Gray or whatever. But that doesn't mean I should have. That doesn't mean I think they should have done more. You know, I don't think. I think the philosophy that David Stearns is using has worked out perfectly so far, and I can imagine it's going to continue to do so. And you're right. I mean, why in the world would you try and catch what the Dodgers are doing? They have 74, 75 wins right now. Like, that's a good season if it ended today. Like, that's a good win total now, especially for the Brewers. So to try and chase that just seems foolish.
Agreed with that. I think, I maybe felt differently before the trade deadline, before I saw the Dodgers adding Yu Darvish or the Nationals going, absolutely over bolstering the bullpen, which was by far their biggest weakness. And I've seen the Nationals play up close. They're an incredible baseball team as it is. So, and the argument against it is, well, it doesn't really matter what those teams are doing right now, because the only way into the playoffs, if you're the Brewers, is to either catch the Rockies, which looks not very likely, but it's at least plausible, or catch the Cubs, which I think is slightly more plausible, even though it's just as unlikely in my mind. And really, once you get to the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. Then it doesn't really matter. Pitchers can have bad days, and one bad day is all it takes, or they can get hurt. Like, there's no data that shows how a team is going to do once they get to the playoffs. There's nothing. So really, all you have to do is get in. So I could see if you say, well, let's just say it's Brewers versus Cubs. The Cubs improved themselves, and the Brewers didn't even try to keep pace with that when they're only a couple games away from them. I still think, even though the Cubs are going to cool down a little bit, and they haven't exactly looked great in the Brewers games, even though they won two of the three, I still think that catching them is unrealistic enough that you don't want to throw all your chips in, especially because on the back end, you would have to face two of the better teams in the past decade with the Nationals or the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are crazy, crazy good. And I think at this point, it would be a massive disappointment if they did not get to the World Series.
I agree. I don't think catching the Cubs is that crazy. When they just played this series here over the weekend, it was really close. I mean, obviously the scores indicate that it was close, 2-1, 2-1, 4-2. But it just felt like at any moment the Brewers needed to break out. And with their pitching, both their starters and their relievers pitching the way they are, and with what this offense showed in the first half, like I don't know why anybody would think it's a foregone conclusion that they can't catch them. Now, did the Cubs get better? Yeah, but I think the Brewers can get better, especially once they have more than three pitchers on their staff. You know, once Chase Anderson gets back. And really, like, can you look at this bullpen right now and tell me that they're not a good bullpen? Like, right now, when you have Corey Knebel, you have Jeremy Jeffress, who just came back, and I'm going to assume that he's going to be back to being pretty good here. You know, I won't deny that. I'm assuming that he's going to be back to being better. But the way that Swarzak is pitched, when you have the guys that they do, I don't know. I don't feel it's weird to think that the bullpen turned into a strength. Jacob Barnes as well, who hasn't pitched well of late at all, but he's shown pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's not a bad bullpen here.
I would not call it a strength per se, but I've never really been that disappointed with it. I think it got unfair criticism because they were in a lot of close games, which I think is more luck than anything. I mean, Knebel, I think, is as guilty as anybody of blowing those games, but he's in one-run games against good lineups. Yeah. Like, it's tough. And, yeah, Barnes has slipped a little bit lately, but they've got now Swarzak to do what Barnes has been doing. Josh Hader is looking great in limited time. I love how they've brought him along. I don't know how you feel about him and whether what the long-term prognosis is for him, but I think he's looked great in this particular role. I think there are guys – I mean, you know, Jared Hughes has been pretty good this year. He doesn't inspire anybody. And yeah, he's had a couple bad outings, and yeah, he has some specific things that he's good at. But that's how bullpen guys are, and I think he's fine. I mean, Carlos Torres had a stretch where he was really good too, and he's probably one of the bigger whipping boys in the whole bullpen this year. So I think the Brewers have certainly had their hiccups there, but I'm comfortable with it. And I think what you're seeing though is not having Chase Anderson really started to come to roost. The Brewers were able to hide that for a while because Brent Suter stepped up and was much better than I think anybody thought he was going to be. But Junior Guerra just was never right. Matt Garza is fine, but limited. I mean, not having Chase Anderson now has really started to feel a little more taxing. And then the offense went silent at the same time. So it was, I think they'll pick it back up. I'm not worried about the offense, but it's sort of just, I mean, it's just the ebb and flow of baseball, and it just so happened that the team that they're chasing, the Cubs, is talented enough where it doesn't take much of an opening for a team to surge on through.
Yeah, and again, as bad as that offense was with a historic, you know, with a franchise record of futility with runners in scoring position, they still almost won that series and almost swept
for sure.
It, if you think about it. So
because the pitching was good, as much as I'm talking about the starters, the pitching was very good. There's no doubt.
I just don't think it's time to fold up shop and say, oh, Cubs took 2 out of 3, 2.5 games back, all done. I mean, the Brewers have gotten better over the past week, both on their roster and I think the way that they're playing. So I think there's still hope.
I definitely think there's still hope. I don't think it's time to fold up shop by any means, but we have passed the point now in the season where really you can do a lot about it. Like either you think you're a contender and you add to your roster at the trading deadline to really bolster what you've got, or you sit back and say, you know what, let's just let the guys we have do as much as they can. That's what the Brewers did. They said, we're good. Or at least maybe they were it sounds like they were in conversations for a lot of people, but they weren't willing to go beyond a certain place and prospect cost to do more than they did. And I don't blame them. I'm saying I agree with that, but there really isn't much more to do other than go out and play the games. Maybe get a waiver acquire or two, you know, not going to get big names there. Yeah. So I think they're not tanking, but they're just going to go out and do what they need. You know, they're just going to play, and maybe it works out. It probably won't in my mind, but maybe it does.
But again, they still have 7 games left against the Cubs, 4 of which are at Miller Park. So
that doesn't matter to me. Where they play them, it doesn't seem like there's an advantage at all. I think
correct about where they play them, but the fact that they still have 7 left is huge.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think the Cubs will win 4 of those 7 with ease, but I think the Cubs are also just now playing their best baseball. I think they're going to be fine the rest of the way. That's my guess. But again, I don't know. I certainly hope for the best, and I acknowledge it could happen. I don't think it will.
Fair enough.
All right, sir. Anything else on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel? I did it again.
Oh,
anything else on the artist formerly known as Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, but currently known as Spectrum Sports?
I don't work there anymore.
No, I know.
We're doing a ton of Packers stuff as our newly,
what?
As of last year, the official cable Packers station. We have a ton of Packers stuff pretty much every night. So. We have like a half hour with Mike McCarthy, a training camp preview, pretty much everything you could ever want, as well as still replays of the high school football all-star game, state baseball we had on our air as well. So there's a lot of fun stuff.
True story. I will be at the first Packers preseason game against Philadelphia on August 10th. We're getting closer.
You are such a fan.
I am. I'm going to be working. I imagine you're going to be working too. Am I wrong?
No, I'm not a preseason game kind of guy. Although I am fully booked for the road schedule.
Yes, that is something I'm glad that you do and not me. I don't want to go on the road to watch sports.
You love your kids that much. That's so cute.
Oh, that is not the reason. I just don't like travel. I hate airplanes. Not airplanes. I hate airports. I love the airplane. It's easy. Anyway, I think that's all we need then, JP. Glad you had a chance to chat this week. I will. I have nothing else for you. Goodbye, JP.
I will see you on a practice field somewhere, somehow. Sometime.
No, you won't. You might see me at a game. Probably not a practice field. I'm usually there very quickly. I get what I want and I get out.
Still big time. All right. Take care, buddy.
See you later, everybody.